Great to be with you once again for NBL Now. These are our special marketplace editions as we work our way during the free agency period. You guessed it, Thursday morning, and still a whole lot to talk about. I'm Jack Heverin. Great to have Leonard Copeland on the show. Copes, good morning to you.
Hey, Jack. Good to be here, my friend. Long time no see.
You are a morning operator, so it's lovely to have you. Pete Hooley as well, I mentioned, on the marketplace, has got an office full of Excel spreadsheets and depth charts and numbers and data flying around everywhere, Pete. There's still a lot going on here.
Yeah, there is. It's quieting down a bit since the frenzy that was Monday, but you think it's good because things pop up randomly and it seems somewhat similar to like the NBA where you could fall asleep and wake up and there's a big signing that's been taking place or some sort of agreement. So ears are constantly on the ground listening to everything and trying to figure out what's going on, and a lot of gaps still to be filled.
In some ways, Olgan might have done too good a job on day one because we haven't had a lot since then. Copes, first chance we've had to talk to you. What have you made of free agency so far?
It's crazy. Free agency is all over the place. It reminds you a lot of the NBA and trade deadlines and everything's going on. But I've been mostly impressed with, and although they haven't made a lot of changes, the Perth Wildcats, because they kept their roster together. They kept that core together. And they ended the season looking pretty good. I mean, when you can have a Cotton and Pender and Doolittle and Harris and all these guys still playing under John Riley, they're just going to get better. I mean, yeah, they might lose, you know, Saar, and they might lose Usher. You bring in another import or you bring in another big. I just like the way they've kept the core together and the way they look. And I also like New Zealand. New Zealand picked up Bolden and Mitch McCarron, who probably has a point to prove, and he's good enough to do that. You put him under Morty Mayor, and that's another coach who can lift him and get him where he needs to be. And I just think that team is going to be great as well.
Why don't we start with the Perth Wildcats then in that case, while you're on a roll? As you mentioned, Coach, they will lose Alex Saar. They're not going around again with Jordan Usher. They've made a decision on Corey Webster that he won't be part of the lineup next season as well. So let's work on the assumption that they've got pretty much one local spot and one import spot to fill. What types of players do you think that they should be looking for?
Well, look, right now their core is set. I mean, yes, they need a big to help with the rebounding. I think they need probably another guard that can help Cotton get that ball down the court or find Cotton coming off those screens to take place for Webster. But really, those five guys right now, Harris and Wagstaff coming back, that team's set. I mean, if you get a big that can play, who doesn't demand the ball, who goes out and does the little things, because, again, Cotton's going to take the majority of the shots. Pender's going to take the rest of them. Doolittle's going to get his points off. So you don't want an import that comes in and tries to take over. You want a guy that fits in and does all the little things.
Pete, it kind of feels like someone like an Angus Brandt potentially could fit that mold, couldn't they?
Yeah, as Cope said, there's probably two avenues they can go down. The one could be the big for some extra support around Keanu Pinder, and also have the versatility to slide Pinder to the four if you want to play a little bigger, because we know he can put the ball on the floor and Brandt. But looking at where they're trying to go with and locking in Doolittle early, it seems like they're going to be playing him more at the power four, which I think his second year, he's going to be really good in that space. He's going to be one of the strongest power forwards in the league. He's going to understand the league. I think his offense is going to flow even better in his second year, and he's going to get even better. So then you're thinking maybe they're looking for that kind of really strong athletic wing. The Casey Prathers, when he was running around for Perth, that one who can be electric scorer. James Ennis, those types that they seem to find in that position if they're going to try and go down that route. Because that'll help, as what Copes is saying, is not only help Bryce Cotton with handling the ball and making plays, but ultimately I know that they've brought back their same roster. I think they just need some extra consistent scoring power to take the pressure off Bryce, to take the pressure off Keanu Pinder. Let them just be great at their own games, and then let the scoreboard still tick over, because it's another year down the track. Bryce Cotton played 48 minutes a game this year in a 40-minute game a season, which is impossible. Can he do that again? Probably, but can we get him a little bit more help, I think, is where they'd be looking at.
Ben Henschel's an interesting piece in this puzzle too as well. I mean, he's one of the boom youngsters in the country right now. didn't see a lot of him this season. It felt like at times that John really lost faith. I mean, you go back to round one, Ben Henshaw was excellent in the South East Melbourne game in Melbourne, but he's putting up some good numbers in the NZ NBL right now. Is he someone that they could lean on potentially for a bit more scoring punch?
Absolutely. I was lucky enough to call that game when Ben Henshaw came in and played, and I was like, who is this guy? Where is he from? Where has he been? Now, I tell you what, if Perp don't play him, other teams will. Other teams will certainly pick him up because he's athletic. He can shoot the ball. But more importantly, he's brave and he's not afraid of the talent that's in front of him. You know, he doesn't play like a rookie. He plays like a veteran, and he can certainly help the Wildcats. Again, like Pete said, you take some of that pressure off Cotton. You put this guy on the wing, kicking it up the floor and letting him go to work. Now we got to guard Cotton on one wing. We got to guard him on another wing. And then we got Pender and Doolittle hitting the boards. I like the way the Perth Wildcats look.
It's all about the defensive end, isn't it? Because that's the reason he didn't play in his rookie year, is that they weren't happy with the way that he defended. And we know that's not his strength. His strength is scoring the ball and creating. But I still think there's a way that you can get the consistent minutes into him, but also set the challenge to him, which I'm sure John really has, saying, I want you as part of that rotation in NBL 25. I just need a little bit more on the defensive end. And I don't want to touch the offensive end because that's where you flourish. I want to see that. But what's going to get you into the rotation is a little bit more, not even being a lockdown defender. I think what they're just trying to say is a little bit less mistakes by focusing on the defensive end. When you come in as a rookie and you're such an elite offensive talent that he is, sometimes you overlook that. But we know that in the NBL, if a team wants to win, you've got to be able to play defense. And I think he'll do that. I think he'll work his way into the rotation and have a good year.
Copes, we'll keep this moving along because I know you don't like talking about defense. It's definitely not your favorite part of the game. Let's talk about the New Zealand Breakers. You mentioned them as well, that they've been really proactive early on. They've added Mitch McCarron. They've added Jonah Bolden. Mahave King is a little bit of an unknown as well. Modi Mayor has always been very specific with the type of player and person that he's gone after in his couple of seasons in charge. What do you think he's seeing in Jonah Bolden?
I think because Jonah Bolden had such a great game against him earlier in the season, and Jonah had a good season. I mean, he shoots the ball well. He's a stretch floor four that can rebound and play defense. He has that NBA experience. Modi's always been great at picking good talent. It's just those guys need to be a little bit luckier. They got to stay away from the injuries side of things. If they can stay healthy, you see what they bring to the table because he's such a strong coach and he gets the best out of his players. Not all coaches can do that. He rides every superstar. And when you ride a superstar like that, the other guys just fall into place. So if he's gone out and gotten Bolden and Mahave King and Mitch McCarron, who I think, again, is going to have a very good year because he's left the baggage behind, I look forward to seeing them play, man, because New Zealand can be very tough under Modi. Modi knows what he's doing.
I think that the word baggage leaving behind is the key, Copes, and we're going to speak about this a lot because I've been high on Mitch McCarron getting into a new situation. Now that he's in a situation, I think it's going to suit him. He's already over there. His family's already over there as well. Any professional athlete with a young family without it understands that if you're not in the right situation, then things just aren't going to work out for you. And it wasn't just 1 year. It wasn't just 2 years. It was 3 years with it getting progressively harder to try and cope with. And I thought he did a really good job with that last year, but I think he's going to get back to the way that we know he can play at that. He was all NBL second team. I think it was NBL 21 for Melbourne United. So they put the right pieces around him. They've already got PJC. But I like that they've gone out there and it seems like Modi Mayor is trying to put together a little bit of a core that's going to be able to stay together for year on, year on. Because the one thing that we know they'll do, they're going to nail their imports. They've done it 2 years in a row. Best three imports in the league back-to-back. They already got one back. PJC is going to be an MVP candidate next year. No doubt about that. And now it's just around filling and complementing your star players. And I think he's done that really well early on. And I expect some more big moves from them soon.
They've added Sam Menenga as well. So they've got a bit of depth now in the big man department. So with that said, do they look at Zylan Cheatham potentially? Or do they need to go a different type of player potentially to play next to Jonah Bolden?
I love the fact that Zylan Cheatham is available and he's there. I mean, again, it's all about what the coach gets out of you. I mean, and Zion Cheatham, we know, was a superstar, one of the most athletic players in the league. Great for the league, great for New Zealand, and he got better as time went on. Again, it's all about injury and staying healthy. If these guys can stay healthy, and you bring in a Cheatham to go with Bowden, because Bowden stretches the floor. Cheatham, yes, can shoot the three, but he's just so athletic around that basket. You got the best of both worlds now. I'd love to see him play again with New Zealand.
If they can get Zion Cheatham back, I think they're going to be well ahead of where everyone expected after what happened, because as Cope said, they've already got the quickest player in the league in Parker Jackson Cartwright. And you bring in Mojave King, who likes to get out in transition, and just think about the fast breaks, the way they could play. And with the fact that now both your bigs, both Jonah Bolden and Sam Meninga, can step out and shoot the three and not have, make no mistake, Moni Mayo is going to be encouraging Sam Meninga to let it fly, then the space just gets even bigger for PJC to create and get downhill, for Mojave King to get out in transition, because you've got to worry about the shooters. And this can be a very potent offensive team. Now, on the flip side, you know Moti Mayo cares about defense. They weren't anywhere near where they needed to be defensively this year and nearly still scraped and put it all together. A lot of that had to do with injuries. But I think that if they can manage to get Zion Cheatham back, it won't come cheap. They're going to be well ahead of the curve where they thought they probably would be at this stage.
Peter Uli, you've changed, man. You keep talking about defense. You never played a lick of defense when you played, bro. Not a lick. What's happening? Hey, man,
that's the only way I got on the court. That's the only way I could get on the court was trying to play defense. Like Casper, all right, Chris, I had all the guys. There was no shots left, Copes.
Oh, my goodness.
It's like I was saying before, too. Copes is a special guest on the show today. He'll never come back again if you keep talking about defense, Pete. This will be the last time we have him.
Man, you got to put that ball in the hole, man. That's how you win championships. Put the ball in the hole, Jack. Come on.
Hey, let's talk about the Southeast Melbourne Phoenix. They started free agency with a couple of big signings. Nathan Sobey and Liam made this point earlier in the week on NBL Now that kind of feels like in some ways it's gone under the radar in some respects, or hasn't been given the respect that it deserves. Angus Glover, I'm an unabashed Angus Glover fan, and I think both of you are as well. Are we now kind of assuming that Mitch Creek is coming back? Because there has been some rumor that he may not. Where do we think this sits?
I've heard, Jack, I'm in Melbourne here, and I've heard so many rumors. I've heard that he might stay in Asia and get the bag. And there's nothing wrong with that because, you know, your time is limited. And if you can make it, you make it. He did come out with a statement to say, if I do play in the NBL, it'll be with Southeast Melbourne. So the fact that he said, if I do play, come back to the NBL. So I know there's a chance. It just depends on if there's a team over there willing to pay him the kind of money that he wants and deserves, if he's going to come back. And if he doesn't come back, then Southeast Melbourne have to go out and find another. Although Sobey's a superstar, we know this, they got to go out and find some real talent, because there's no way they can finish like they did last year.
The thing with Mitch Creek, when you're asking the question right now, I think he is coming back because that's what everybody's assuming. But what we have to realize is this current time we're in, it might be different next week. If his agent continues to work, if he keeps balling out overseas and goes to play somewhere else after where he currently is, you just feel like how good he's continued to get each season, that offer that they're seeking is going to come eventually. You feel like it's inevitable, which is why all the talk of, he's potentially not coming back. But as of right now, if there's no offer on the table, then yes, he's coming back. And then that's a formidable duo. They said they got unfinished business, Copes. They said they got unfinished business since 2018. Now, that's not a personal attack on me. My ring is behind me as we record. I know that was part of that series.
Oh, my goodness.
That's the unfinished business. They want to go and win a title together. And again, I think that Sobey's going to absolutely flourish in a new environment, much like we spoke about Mitch McCarron. Certain players, once they leave, or it's just time for both parties to move on. It felt like that for Nathan Sobey. And I think for the Phoenix, who are trying to reinvent themselves after some hard luck last year and everything that happened, they've got a guy who's coming in with a chip on his shoulder again, who's healthy. He might be over 30, but he looks like he's continuing to get better, and that could spell problems for the league.
And to bring in Angus Glover, who another guy that has a chip on his shoulder, who we've seen go to work on both ends of the floor, this is the perfect fit for Southeast Melbourne. They need a guy who's going to take charge, be that defender on one end, but can get to the basket and score on another end And when you put yourself around players like this, it just makes you a better team. And I think this is the perfect fit for them.
Which is why, again, I'd love to see Mitch Creek be a part of this team. We looked at what happened last year, and granted, there were players who were hurt and they couldn't be part of it. But there were so many times where not so much you question the effort, though, you just question like the intensity. Like, are they really going as hard as they can? I know that there have been injuries against them, but everyone was just questioning it. You never questioned Mitch Creek when he was out there. Yep. You've never questioned Nathan Sobey going 110%, and you never questioned Angus Glover going at it.
Right.
You put those three on the floor together, they're going to raise everybody else's level. It's all about filling pieces who are going to play that hard. And if you play that hard or have a couple of people leading it every single night, all of a sudden you put, if someone misses a game or two, you've still got two guys to do it. You have 28 games of playing at a high intensity. You're right in the mix.
Yep. Easy.
Let's finish off with the Adelaide 36ers. We're still none the wiser on Will McDowell-White and his decision. What we do know is that, or what we think we know, is that the Adelaide 36ers are one team that are right in the hunt. Let's just play the scenario out here that they don't land Will, that he chooses Brisbane or Tasmania or Southeast Melbourne, one of the other suitors. If the 36ers miss out on Will, what's the next thing that that front office needs to do?
I think easily they got to go get another guard who can help DJ with scoring, who can get that ball down the floor, who can run pick and rolls with Isaac Humphries, because when you put too much pressure on a guy, yes, I love DJ and I think DJ can go to work, but you don't want him taking every shot coming down the court because it becomes monotonous and the guys say, well, I don't want to play with you and this, we don't want to do this and we don't do that. You got to find some help for him. I thought when they let Wiley go, that was a mistake because Wiley was good for Isaac Humphries. Here's a guy who didn't demand the ball, kept the crowd involved, would go rebound the ball, and just pick off points when he had to. So I don't know where Adelaide are going, but if they do get Will McDowell-White, it's certainly going to make them a contender late in the season.
It's you feel like it's going to happen sooner rather than later with them, right? Because all the other names they've been linked with, and I think Antonius Cleveland, where he's currently at, has a team option for next year. Yep. So if that's not taken up, I believe they can kind of try and get that going a bit quicker to try and get him back to Adelaide. And if it does get picked up, it makes it a little more difficult. But again, a lot of that will change. If you get Will McDowell-White, then you go and get Antonius Cleveland and you can look for another import for. If you don't get Will McDowell-White, what else is out there? And that's the key for me. Maybe you're picking up the phone to a Derek Walton Jr. and saying, hey, look, we need you to come in and make things happen. You've got Isaac Humphries, you've got DJ Vasiljevic. And again, what happens with Cleveland? It just seems like two of these last three spots, they've got to absolutely nail to really complement the local core that they have. I know a couple of players around the league are interested in trying to team up with Antonius Cleveland and also DJ Hoag. They want both of them. I don't know if you're going to get both. It's very expensive along with Will McDowell-White, but it'll just be nice if Will would hurry up for us. I'm sure it's a very big decision. I understand that. But just for our sake, Will, if you could just get a little bit of a hurry on to try and help us out. I think there might be some talk of trying to restructure some deals to make it a little sweeter. I don't know how that looks, but let's try and get this done for everyone's sake, Will.
Right. The last word on that then is with you, Copes. If you were advising Will McDowell-White, and without knowing all of the finances and what's what, but what do you think is, or where do you think is the best fit for Will next season?
If I was Will's agent, I'd want to put him in a place where he shines. I mean, obviously, you as a superstar, you can go to places, and the structure's not the right place. I think Adelaide is a perfect place for him. I think Brisbane could work for him, but it just seems like Adelaide have the pieces. They have the finances. It's a team on the rise. You got DJ. You got Isaac Humphries. You got these younger guys who are willing to play. You put him in that position with Scotty Nennis, who's going to let him play and let him be himself. That's the most important thing. Let him be himself because he's that good.
Copes, I do want to ask you this because of the other options that are out there for him. Brisbane, yes. Southeast, yes. Would the fact that Tasmania just won a title potentially scare away anything else about the deal that he could have there?
Well, as an ex-player, some guys just don't like going to a team that's already established because what happens if they don't win it again, then everyone points their finger at you. The Kevin Durant sort of thing. You know, I, me personally, I want to build a team and win a championship because it just feels so much sweeter, Jack. It's just so much sweeter to help build this thing and then at the end of the year, get that ring.
I'll have to take your word for it. I'll have to take your word for it, but these are the decisions that are in front of Will McDowell-White right now. Hey, Copes, thanks for joining us this morning. We really appreciate it. Always love hearing your thoughts.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it. Have me back sometime, Jack. Don't run from me, brother. I'm still here.
And likewise, Hools, we'll be talking again soon.
Well, maybe we should do an NBL Now update of me and Copes tomorrow at Corey's Golf Day. We're sharing a charity hole together, so maybe we'll do a follow-up on that.
Yeah,
I like the idea of that. We might get the cameras to have a look at that one as well. Thanks for being with us on NBL Now, our special Marketplace Editions. We're back tomorrow.